Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard, nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us, and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we like to have a confession of faith, and we'll share the Nicene Creed with you this morning. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Why does mankind need Jesus Christ? The big idea in today's lesson is this: we need Jesus because Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. Sin is eliminated as a cause for our separation from our Heavenly Father. We say that we have been redeemed, our lives bought back from destruction and enmity with God, because we have been justified in Christ. That means literally that Christ paid our debt. It was our debt, a debt paid for by another. It was still our debt, but that debt is of no account because it has been paid. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, his sacrificial death on the cross paid it all. Let's take a closer look at Romans 4 verses 13 through 25. We begin by looking at Abraham. Abraham lived around 4,000 years ago. The Bible calls him the friend of God. We read in Genesis that he recognized God and differentiated God from angels. Abraham lived after the flood, Noah's flood. Remember God speaking to Abraham. Abraham was to be the father of many nations. The very Redeemer of mankind would come through Abraham's bloodline. Why a Redeemer through Abraham? The letter to the Romans explains. The promise was because of faith. God did not owe Abraham anything. Yes, God is good and the rain falls on the evil and good alike. God is kind. What made Abraham different from the rest of mankind? Abraham was a man of faith, my friends. Redemption of the world came through a family of faith. Yes, Abraham honored God, and yes, Abraham did what he felt was the direction of God. We call those kinds of directions legalistic. Abraham did the right thing, and he taught his family the right thing, and his heirs learned the right thing. But the Bible is clear that that righteousness was not the reason that Jesus Christ was born from Abraham's family line. Abraham believed God. He was different from many in the family of mankind because he believed God. Here's Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Why couldn't Abraham earn the right to have Jesus Christ in his family line? Because following rules does not bring about faith. If people could follow rules, follow any roadmap, which would lead to a perfect life before our Heavenly Father, don't you think we would know how to earn a place in God's heaven? If we could, faith would make no difference. Yet the Bible tells us that God seeks out the person of faith and seeks a relationship with that person. The fact of the matter is this. We try to do the right thing, to follow God's law as we understand it, and we fail every time. Our failure to do what is the right thing in God's rule book brings about, Bible term here, God's wrath. Now we are talking about wrath in Bible terms, a different word from our everyday English. In the Bible, wrath and wrath of God mean judgment. Because we fail God's rule book, we are under God's judgment. Romans 4, 14 and 15 explains it this way. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Forgiveness for our sins, forgiveness for a lifestyle that rejects God's will, comes because of faith. The promised Redeemer comes to the whole world because of Abraham's faith. The Redeemer, Jesus Christ, comes to people of faith and people of law alike, but salvation comes by faith alone. God's promise to Abraham 4,000 years ago is a promise of faith. Romans 4, verses 16 and 17 explains, Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now think about this. Abraham was promised many children. One of those children would be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Abraham believed God. He did not attempt to explain away God's promises. He continued to live and honor God as he understood God's leading in life. We understand that Abraham did not doubt God. Yes, he did not understand God's plan exactly, but he did understand that God had the matter of progeny and salvation in hand. Romans 4, 18 through 20. Who, contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, So shall your descendants be, God said. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in what? Faith, giving glory to God. As we look at Abraham from our vantage point in history, remember it has been 4,000 years since Abraham, and it's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ. As we look at Abraham from our vantage point in history, we see that Abraham lived in faith. He looked to God to deliver on his promises. That expectation was recognized by God. We have two words in most translations of the Bible here. One using the word for accounting and another using the word for adding up the ledger. Abraham's actions added up to righteousness in God's bookkeeping. Recognize that Abraham had a degree of righteousness, but like us, Abraham was a sinner. He had the same sinner's heart that we have. He had wickedness in his heart, the same wickedness we have, but Abraham trusted God, and that's what made the difference. Romans 4, verses 20 through 22 explains it like this. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him, Abraham, for righteousness. God's arithmetic is hard to understand. Many things which add up in our heads do not add up in God's math. Abraham lived 4,000 years ago. Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. Many people in Paul's day did not understand the concept of the Christ, of a perfect sacrifice dying for all. It was about 30 years or so after Jesus' ascension into heaven. Paul was writing to the church at Rome. It was a church that had both Jewish people and Gentiles in it. Some of those people would understand the law of God and some would not. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, generates this great teaching letter to the Romans to explain Jesus Christ and his redemptive work on our behalf. We find that the promises to Abraham were also promises to us because we are called to faith, not to works. We can understand Jesus Christ and his work on the cross of Calvary because of faith. God's math reveals that we participate in the promises to Abraham. The bottom line? Christ's work for us belongs to our ledger. It has been credited to us. God saves us like he saves Abraham because all who believe in our Heavenly Father and his promises understand that it is God himself who raised Jesus from the dead. We understand that that Jesus was the one to pay the redemptive price for our sins, our offenses. And we understand that Jesus Christ was raised up to cover our sins, that is, pay the price of our sins for us. Here's how Romans 4, 23, 24, and 25 says it. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, to Abraham, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. God is good. Isn't he? You and I can have confidence in God and in the salvation our Heavenly Father has provided through the Son, Jesus Christ, because of faith. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at Historical Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104, near the Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Want additional information? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209.